So hey guys, welcome back. Hey, it's Josh with Accelerated Real Estate Investor, and I'm excited to be on the show with you today. Today I have a special guest. His name is David Perry, and David is actually active duty military, and he's actually been able to acquire over 100 doors and units of multifamily properties, a hotel, single family rentals, while still being active military. He also owns equity in 150 unit syndication that he's invested in on a passive basis. And especially for those of you guys that are former military, busy, don't have a lot of free time, maybe not a lot of resources, this is a great interview for all of you. David's passionate about helping investors, especially in military, former and current, build wealth through real estate investing, entrepreneurship, and personal finance. He is one of the few people that I've met that's built that big of a portfolio while being active duty military, to the point where now he's able to transition from active duty military into civilian life and already have enough passive income that he doesn't need a regular W-2 job. I think that's fantastic. You can find his website at frommilitarytomillionaire.com. And in this interview, we're going to talk, number one, about David's recent move from the military capital of the United States, San Diego, to Central Missouri, and how he was able to build up 100 units in Central Missouri, investing virtually from San Diego. He's also going to describe to you, number two, how he was able to acquire 40 units of multifamily apartment buildings using seller financing, which is his number one and favorite way to find deals. Also, how he was able to build up 100 units without any employees, just a property manager, and investing in Central Missouri from San Diego using direct mail strategies. Number four, we'll also cover David's favorite type of lead stacking, where he covers his specific lists that he likes to stack so he can get very motivated sellers when he sends out his direct mail, and his favorite type of direct mail piece that he sends out to get small multifamily properties and single family homes to add to his portfolio. So for those of you that are current or former military, or those of you that are looking to invest by just scratching together a few nickels, starting from nothing, you'll absolutely love this interview with David Perry. Here we go.
Welcome to the Accelerated Investor Podcast with Josh Cantwell. If you're looking to retire early with forever passive income, you're in the right place. This podcast is the go-to destination for real estate investors, both active and passive, and multifamily apartment investors, both new, intermediate, and advanced. Now, sit back, listen, learn, and accelerate your business, your life, and your investing with the Accelerated Investor Podcast.
Hey, David, listen, thank you so much for joining me today on Accelerated Real Estate Investor. I know you just moved, so thanks for carving out some time.
Absolutely, Josh. Thanks for having me on the show.
So why don't we jump in with, tell our audience about the move. We were just talking about it, getting ready for the show. And tell us a little bit more about something that you're excited that you're currently working on.
Yeah, so the move, I am transitioning off active duty out of the Marine Corps. This is the first podcast episode I've done in almost 2 months because I haven't had a studio. So I spent all week painting walls, and these are sound blankets and everything. And you're the first podcast where I felt at least functional enough to not say, hey, I need to reschedule.
Sure.
And here we are. So the move, getting off active duty, going into the reserves, and transitioning to full-time real estate investor and entrepreneur, which is a buzzword that I'm starting to learn to hate because everybody, it's like, oh, I made a sock puppet and sold it on eBay. I'm an entrepreneur. So I don't know how much I identify that way anymore. But what's new? Other than that, I guess the most recent new thing is I should be signing a contract on another single family home today, and I'm looking at two duplexes and a single family house on Tuesday to potentially buy as a studio or as a portfolio. So just cool that I'm back here and still able to keep rolling and buying real estate. So
nice. So you have over 100 doors and units that you own while being full-time, and a hotel while being full-time in the military. So tell me a little bit more about your kind of money-making strategy. Like, what are you focused on doing today? Is it buying for income? Is it flipping, multifamily? And why do you like to focus on that?
Yeah, I am traditionally a buy and hold real estate investor. So I absolutely prefer anything from one to, I think the biggest at this point is 40 doors, the 40 unit being a hotel. I'm in a syndication on 140 unit property as well, but I'm such a small ownership percentage of that. And I don't really deal with operations. So I don't really count that in my portfolio because it's not a super hands-on thing. So as far as my portfolio, anything from one to 40 at this point, looking to grow that. Traditionally buy and hold guy, but I am doing a decent amount of wholesaling and wholetailing right now, which the only difference being that a wholetail, you physically purchase the property and then list it on the MLS. So I like that right now just because of how competitive the MLS is. So I'm able to take a hoarder house and instead of flipping it straight to somebody who wants to flip the house as a wholesaler, I might take the hoarder house and just clean out all the trash and then take better pictures and list it. And then I can get $5,000 or $10,000 more than I would have wholesaling it to somebody who's still going to flip it. But just because it's cleaned out, it's a lot less scary. So I'm mainly buy and hold, but I'm doing a lot of off-market, looking for off-market deals. And then the ones that I don't buy, I just wholesale or buy and list. So
nice. Love it. Yeah, love the hotel strategy, especially now, right? There's usually about 3.5 million properties across the country on the MLS. Right now, there's only 1.2 million. So inventory is down 60%. Yeah. People are fighting over that stuff. I just listed a rental property on Wednesday for $124.9. Got an offer for $127 literally in 2 hours after it was listed. And we just full price over market, well-qualified buyer, went under contract. My wife and I are excited. We only have a few single-family rental properties left. That's one of them. And so sayonara, right?
Yeah,
we love the MLS right feeling. Now. Putting stuff on the MLS, especially that wholesaling strategy, that's fantastic. So David, listen, you go back now. Let's tell our audience a little bit more about your transition into real estate. You got into the military in 2008. Mm-hmm. You got into real estate investing in 2015 while still active duty in San Diego. San Diego, a beautiful market, by the way, very competitive. But tell us about that. What happens in 2014-15 that even gets you interested in real estate while you're still active duty?
Yeah, in 2015, somebody was trying to get me into Amway to sell, the multi-level marketing, sell some sodas and some products. And I wasn't really buying it. And he was like, well, you need to read this book. And he handed me Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I remember telling him like, I don't really read, it's just not my thing. I guess I thought that was cool. I think back then is the sad thing. Like now I think the opposite. Someone tells me they don't read and I'm like, well, yeah. Probably a loser. So he was cool enough to hand me a disc. Like he pulled a CD out of his pocket, was like, I know you drive a lot, listen to it while you drive. I was like, all right, fine. So he called my bluff. I'll begrudgingly listen to this book. And little did I know, that was going to change my life. I tried to thank him for that, but apparently he ended up doing some really illegal stuff. And I don't really care to go to the jail and say thanks. But, if he ever gets out of there, maybe I'll say thanks. But so I bought a duplex about 3 months, 4 months later, lived in one house or one half, rented the other house hacked it. That was right at the end of me being a recruiter here in Missouri. And so I bought that house in Missouri and then I got stationed in Hawaii for 3 years and I took me like another year and a half to buy my next property. That ended up being a 10 unit. I was sending some letters out for duplexes and the guy was like, well, I don't want to sell you duplex, but I'll send you 10. And like, oh, okay. Yeah, we'll talk about it. And that was a leap. I just slowly kept rolling with the rental properties. I ended up in San Diego for the last 2 years. And throughout it all, I was like, well, I'm going to keep buying in Missouri because I already have a property manager. I already have some properties there. I already know the area. It's landlord friendly. So why not? So I just kind of got stuck there because that's where I happened to be when I started. And that's basically it, right? Got started because someone handed me Rich Dad, Poor Dad, cared enough to say, hey, moron, read this book and change your ways. And at the time, I had a negative net worth and was totally happy blowing my money on, booze, tattoos, cars. So it's been a nice change of pace.
Nice. So which out of your assets do you think are the one maybe you're most proud of that you said, after buying this, you thought, this real estate thing is really going to go for me. This is going to work. And I could see myself transitioning out of military life into civilian life. And already having a big portfolio that's going to support my income. And when I transition out of civilian or out of military life to civilian, I don't need to go get a job, right? Like when did that light bulb go off for you that you thought, I don't need to go get a regular job. I could just transition into real estate full-time because I'm starting to create some passive income and some regular income, flipping some properties, having some rental income from real estate. Like when does the light bulb go off to say, I don't have to be like all the other military guys that just transition into civilian life and go get a regular job.
Yeah. So, you know, I bought the first duplex and that was cool, but it didn't really sink in that real estate was like actually going to work until I moved out and was renting both sides. And then it was cash flowing. So once I started seeing positive cash flow, I was like, okay, this is cool. Proof of concept. We'll do this again. One of the deals I'm most proud of is that 10 unit solely because it was like the biggest leap. Like going from 10 to 40 is scary, but once you have a base cash flow and some experience, it's not nearly as scary as like going from I owned a house that I lived in to the 10 units was a much bigger leap mentally. But also I got 10% seller financing and 85% bank financing. So I only put like 4.9% down on that property, which was awesome. And then I've pulled all of that back plus 60-something thousand, 70,000 in a refi, and it's still cash flow. So I think that was probably like the coolest deal where it's like I put $11,000 down on this. I've pulled over 80 out of it. It still cash flows over $1,000 a month. It's just been great. But when it really started to hit home was right around like, I was probably sitting at like 19 or 20 rental units about a year and a half ago. And I was like, you know, I'm really thinking about getting out of the military. I think I'm at a point where I might be able to survive. Like this might work. And that was the tipping point where I was like, all right, the numbers are kind of working. I hadn't replaced my income, but my income was high enough that if I moved to Missouri where the cost of living was lower, then I would probably be about break even. I'd be okay. But I wasn't at a point where I was going to be able to scale and grow. I was at a point where I'd be able to survive, but I would have still had to get a job if I wanted to keep buying rentals or finding stuff with other people's money. And then I recently discovered or started getting more into direct mail. I'd done a little bit of it here and there where I'd handwrite the letters and send them out to people, but not very strategically. I'd pulled some lists, pulled some data, but just nothing crazy. And then over the last year, I really started doing more, you know, like 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 mailers in a month or two. Much more targeted lists, much more mass market to lists. And over that, then it was like, okay, now I've got this base $3,000-$5,000 a month in cash flow, but I'm also bringing in 5, 10, 15. You know, at one point I closed like 4 deals in a week and it was like $35,000 in profit. And I was like, all right, I know this will help me survive. This piece that I've now proof of concept, like I can at least use this to basically wholesale a deal and then buy another one as a rental and keep scaling. That was the light bulb moment. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, this is the right decision. I'm going to get out of the military. I'll be totally safe. I'll be good. And then like 2 or 3 months later from those direct mailers, I was talking to a seller and he was like, I've got a hotel and 2 apartment complexes. I'll sell you the single family house you sent me a letter for, but I'd much rather sell you all of this so I can get out of the market and move to Florida retired. And we start talking and like 9 or 10 phone calls later, we sign a contract. Actually, a really weird deal. We'd been negotiating the hotel piece for a while because he couldn't sell it outright just yet because of capital gains tax, because it's a weird long backstory. But so he was like, I'll lease option that to you until September, but you can close the other one. So we signed a contract to close the 2 apartments, which was a 23 unit, a 15 unit, and then a single family house. So those 39 doors. And then the hotel on a Friday, he's like, hey, if you guys give me $100,000 Monday, it's yours. And so we're nice. Like, okay, but we want a 2-week grace period for inspections and stuff before the $100,000 goes hard. And so we literally like on Friday, we signed something. On Monday, my partner handed him $100,000 check because he just refinanced the house and was like, okay, we're hotel owners now. And then that was when it was like, okay, not only are we like, I'm good, I can keep scaling, but like now I can, all right, yeah, this is the right decision. I'm good now. We'll be all right. So
love it.
Are you ready to automate and explode your real estate investing? We're searching for extremely motivated individuals who are sick and tired of wasting time and want to finally see real results from their real estate investing business. We're searching for investors looking to get to the next level and become a bigger, better version of themselves while being a more successful real estate investing entrepreneur. Apply for mentoring and coaching at joshcantwellcoaching.com/podcast. That's joshcantwellcoaching.com/podcast.
I love the fact that like you're just doing your thing, right? You're mailing, you're doing direct mail, one deal kind of thing. A lot of people say, oh, he's lucky, but other people would say, well, it's just opportunity meeting hard work. You put in the work, you did the direct mail. It was an opportunity that jumped into you. So when all of a sudden You have like 40 units that's dropped into your lap, hotels, apartment buildings, probably the biggest transaction you had done at that time.
Yeah.
How does that feel? Like, I know what it's like to buy a big complex. I'm always curious to hear other people say, well, my first big deal or my next big deal. How did it feel when you're like, I've been doing single family homes now, so I just added 39 units to my portfolio?
It was awesome. And it's really cool because I had been talking with some friends about potentially buying a business as opposed to just buy and hold rentals, because being where we were in the pandemic, I was like, you know, there's a lot of business owners who are offering to sell at a discount. Like, this might be the time to jump into something with some employees and whatever. So the hotel scratched that itch too, because we bought it with 7 employees. And at this point, I think only 3 of the originals are remaining. We've done some hiring, some firing, some turnover, done a lot of stuff right away. So it was a good experience for a lot of reasons. But to add to your point about the, you know, he got lucky or whatever to do that. So 3 of us partnered, 3 of us each brought $100,000 into the closing for all of that. And in order for me to bring my $100,000, I refinanced the 10 unit, pulled $66,000 and sold a duplex that I had. So if I hadn't been doing that, you kidding me? 5 years ago, my net worth was in the negatives. There's no way I would have had $100,000 laying around to buy. This thing could have been staring me in the face and I would have been like, oh, that's cool. I hope someone else buys it.
Yeah. So. Love it. Love it. What's your favorite list to use? Now, you said you're sending out sometimes $2,000-$5,000 pieces of postcards and mailers at a time. Is there a certain list that's worked best for you?
I mean, the easy win is absentee homeowners with 70% equity or more. I'm really starting to dig down though to where every month or every quarter my county pulls like a dangerous properties, which is all the people that have code violations or buildings that need to be torn down, or they haven't mowed their grass in a month and the city's actually like sent them notice. So I'll pull that list and I'll add that to it. And then I'm stacking it so that I'll see, hey, this person's got a vacant property with 70% equity who they don't live in the house. And by the way, the city's told them they need to remove that shed, or the city's told them they haven't mowed their grass in a month and a half. Or, you know, then it's like, okay, well, this person's like probably a really fed up, tired landlord. And that's what I'm trying to get a hold of. Right now, I'm trying to hit up like 60 to 80 year old landlords who are just done. They might have had a rough go with the pandemic, or they're just old and tired, you know? And
Love it. I love the multiple layers of motivation. Motivation stacking is a big part, being successful, especially in the smaller multifamily or the larger single family type of deals, and making sure that you're not wasting your time with one layer of motivation. You can find someone who's got 4 layers of motivation. Like you said, lots of equity, older, generally going to be a tired type of landlord, plus the code violations, dangerous property type of violations, and they're absentee, right? So you know, it's a landlord property that they might've got beat up on, or they had somebody from COVID that wasn't paying the rent. Really, really, really good list there. That's fantastic stuff. So David, I know you also have a passion for helping other people, especially military guys, right? Build wealth through real estate, entrepreneurship, and personal finance. Tell us a little bit more about what you're doing to kind of give back. I know the military life has been your life for a while. I know a lot of other guys in the military maybe don't get that type of education, and you've kind of made it a personal mission to teach other people to be military millionaires like you are. Tell us a little bit more about where that passion comes from, and tell our audience, if they don't understand, what's the transition for most people from military to civilian life? And why are military men so far behind financially? And they don't have this type of education that you're trying to give these guys.
Yeah, I think the reason that most service members are behind is just because we create this culture of, it's almost like a, well, I might die soon or whatever, you know, so they just blow their money on. It's like the ultimate like locker room alpha male. Like, we call it the gun club, but you know, everybody and their mother is like, oh yeah, I could buy a fast car or a motorcycle or a bunch of guns and tattoos. And you know what? I'm going to get paid. I don't have to have any money because I live in a barracks and all my bills are paid by the Marine Corps. So
yeah,
I can spend all my money on a tattoo.
Tons of fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, that was exactly my mentality. I deployed to Afghanistan and got tax-free pay for 7-8 months. I came back and I had a truck, 2 tattoos, a Harley, and a sniper rifle to show for it, and no money left at all.
Oh, nice.
You know, and they were fun toys, but there's that aspect. The other aspect is just they're young. They're not out there looking for it, and there's not a whole lot of resources there that... So like the Marine Corps, the military in general is good about, they have the opportunities and they have the resources available for people. But I wasn't looking for that at 19 years old. You know, they're not. So you have to, it's more of a, hey, instead of just having it available, you have to find a way to like get them to pay attention or get them to watch it. So the whole reason for my platform, well, it originally was, I was thinking about writing a book and knew that nobody would ever listen to me at all because nobody knew who I was. So I was like, well, I'll start by writing a blog and at least see if there's some interest. And then it kind of exploded. And so now I'm literally, the reason that these walls are this dark is because I'm building out these two walls are going to be built out to be a full studio so that I can go even deeper into the content hole. But yeah, the whole platform is built around helping service members and veterans learn how to use their VA loan, how to use their thrift savings plan, what funds they should be in, what other benefits are available to them, whether that's discounts or just opportunities in the military to succeed. And it's grown a lot because there's a ton of opportunities. There's kind of this mentality that service members don't get paid a lot. And I'm sure on some level that's true, but the reality is most of them just don't understand the benefits they receive and the value that they're actually getting paid for that role. You know, I made equivalent to like $115,000 my last year in the Marine Corps, which is pretty solid. So, yeah. You know, no complaints, but you got to know how to use it. So the platform was built around helping people learn how to use their VA loan and learn how to build wealth with things like that. You know, if you're going to move to a new city and you have the VA loan, you could live in a apartment and pay rent, or maybe you could buy a duplex and start off with house hacking. And now you're paying less to live and building long-term wealth, and you didn't have to put any money down. I mean, that's a huge win. Fantastic as long as you buy stuff. Right. Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. David, I'm curious, this might be kind of a personal question, so hoping I'm not digging too deep here, but
It's all good.
And this is a little bit of a political question too. So, but seems like the military, depending on who's in office, you hear more in the news media about the military feeling not appreciated and then military feeling like super appreciated. Donald Trump seemed to be very pro-military and supporting the military. I'm just curious, since you're in it, how does it feel? How does it feel? Do you feel appreciated?
I definitely feel appreciated. Without saying too much politically and without putting my views out there, you can definitely tell the flavor of the week and you can see where the budget goes.
Sure.
That being said, the commander-in-chief, while being the commander-in-chief, it's kind of like when people give the president credit or blame for the economy. It's like, okay, yes, that person is the president of the United States, but realistically, they're not the only reason. Like there's a whole lot of cycles and things and like, you know, if it's good, they take the credit. If it's bad, everybody blames them, but it's like, eh. So I think a lot of it also just kind of goes into like whatever the media wants to tell you. So the media seems to like saying like, oh, this is the case with this guy. And yet this is the case with this guy. But, you know, I served under, when I joined, I was in training when President Obama was elected. And so, you know, I served under President Obama, President Trump, and then now for the last year, President Biden. And you could tell there were some differences here and there, but it's more of a cyclical thing kind of based on where we are, because we still had funding when President, you know, everyone says, oh, President Obama cut all the, we still had funding to do stuff. In fact, we had a ton of funding when I first joined, and then it kind of dwindled down towards the end of, you know, Afghanistan. And then, yeah, President Trump gave us more funding for stuff, but it's not like a noticeable difference really in the military. It wasn't like a, oh my goodness, now I have to go back to work.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell there's a different feeling out there, but
got it.
Because the military, probably one of my favorite things about it is that they do a really good job of keeping politics out of everything. And so you could work in a room where there's someone who voted red and someone who voted blue and someone who voted whatever other color and other color. And there are 10 different ethnicities and 15 different, you know, and nobody cares.
Got it. Yeah. I was curious to see actually from a man that's, you know, in the middle of it, right. On how it feels or feels different. So it's good to hear that you feel appreciated regardless. It's funny that you said like that, you know, the military, we keep politics out of the military, but politics is good about pulling the military into politics.
Yeah.
The exact opposite. It's pretty wild.
In my newest real estate investing book, The Flip System, you'll learn the proven secrets and strategies that I've used to be a successful real estate investor. You'll also hear the story of my journey from quitting my job to doing over 2,000 units of apartments. The Flip System is now available for a limited time, and you can grab your free copy at getflipsystem.com/podcast. You'll learn the same proven principles and secrets and investing strategies that I used to quit my job and pursue a life of financial freedom. In this book, I'm sharing exactly how I was able to personally close over 750 profitable real estate deals, make over 400 private lender loans, raise over $30 million, and acquire over 2,000 units of cash-flowing apartments. Get my newest book now for free at getflipsystem.com/podcast. That's getflipsystem.com/podcast.
David, so next question really is just around your start, right? And any kind of challenges that you may have had. But being full-time, whether it's military, civilian life, having a job, what are some challenges that you experienced trying to do real estate while having a job? And what would you advise other people to either do or not do, avoid or embrace in their journey?
Well, I think the first challenge that most people come to, and I certainly did, is capital. You know, most people don't have money to start investing in real estate. I mean, there are some who do, but the vast majority are not loaded, which is they're looking to get into real estate to help build that. And so I think that's why house hacking is so valuable and something I'm such a huge fan of, especially if you're young, because you can get that primary residence loan, a VA loan, FHA loan, USDA loan, whatever, and you can pay under 5% down. Even conventional is only 5% down, which allows you to get in the door. And then now you're mitigating your living expenses so you can save more money to invest in your education and invest. And I think that's like the smartest thing ever for anybody getting started. So I wish that I house hacked. My first property was a duplex. I wish I'd been ballsy enough to do a fourplex, because I could have bought the same thing for not much more down. And I would be much better off right now had I made the leap to fourplex instead of just duplex. But that's probably one of the big things. The other big issue for me was, as you might imagine, in the military, was time. I didn't have a whole lot of it. So, you know, I was waking up for the last 3 years. I've basically woken up at 4:15 every morning and stayed up way later than I should. And sleep has kind of gone by the wayside. But I think people benefit from setting a calendar, setting a schedule, and sticking to it. A lot of people they say they don't have time to do this, or they can't figure out how to do that. And the reality is, if you just sit down every night and say, what's the one thing I could do tomorrow to help me move the needle on this? Whether that's evaluating, analyzing 10 deals, maybe it's writing an offer, maybe it's networking with another investor or finding a property management. I mean, just one thing. And if you just do that one thing, the first thing you do in the morning, and then the next night you do, you know, the same thing, you write out another goal for the next day and you do one more thing, and you just make it a point to do, it's like people who want to go play baseball in college.
Yeah.
They make time to throw a baseball. Otherwise, they don't play baseball in college. So there's a lot of people out there who want to be a real estate investor, but they're not willing to cut a half hour out of their free time to turn off Maury or Jerry Springer or whatever people watch these days and analyze some deals.
Yeah. So. It was interesting. I had Barbara Corcoran on the podcast about 2 years ago, and reminds me of her talking about, you know, she said forever her routine has been she gets in front of her desk the night before and she just looks at everything she's got to do. And she literally writes down like three things that she wants to get done the next day. And she'll work out or get some sort of exercise first thing in the morning when she wakes up. Then she'll attack those three things before she does anything else. Those things could take her 5 minutes. They could take 2 hours. They could take all day. But not until they're done does she then open up her email, open up her cell phone, take other phone calls, take other meetings. And so she's really focused on, for the last literally 30 years as an entrepreneur, just three things a day.
Yeah.
And doing those first thing in the morning while you're fresh, while you can think straight, and before your day gets crazy. Kevin O'Leary said the same thing when he was on the podcast, pick three things. And, you know, even if you're a leader, even if you're a CEO and you're focused on employees, is helping your employees do the same thing, right? Just pass that down to them so that they're not getting up and kind of winging it as soon as they wake up, is that plan it out the night before, do three things or do one thing in your case. And knock that out. That's fantastic advice. You know, David, is there any other advice? Looking back at the successes that you've had, the move that you're making from military life to civilian life, from San Diego to Central Missouri, what advice would you give to your students, to our students, our members, our audience, about your journey in real estate? What did you do well? What did you think you'd do differently?
I'd probably do a lot of things differently. I think the thing that really helped me out that I'm very good at is networking. And I think that the single biggest, best, most beneficial thing you can do to help yourself out in any endeavor is to surround yourself with the people who, A, have similar goals to you, and B, people who've already achieved what you want. Like, there's that two levels, right? Even buying a duplex, you know, my first property, there were people who told me I shouldn't do it, or they were nervous for me, or what if this doesn't happen, or what if that doesn't happen, but none of them had done it. And so you find the person who's done it, and they're like, yeah, absolutely, do it. Here, I'll help you walk you through it. And so I think those two groups, either surrounding yourself with people who are going the same direction as you, like a mastermind group or a coaching platform or whatever, so that you can have accountability towards those things, but then also aligning yourself with somebody who's already achieved, you know. And I hate the whole run around, look for a mentor thing. I think if you want to find a good mentor, which you should, you either need to pay to play. You're going to find a coach and you're going to pay them for their time, because if they're that good, they don't have time to hold your hand. Sorry. Or you're going to need to bring value to them, and not just like, how do I bring value to you? But like genuinely show up and say, hey, I'll work for free or whatever. Or you need to really have a relationship with that person, right? The best mentors I've ever had were just people who I have a genuine relationship for or with, who have done what I, you know, want to do in, on some level. And then you're able to just ask them questions here and there and get basic things. At this point, I have mentors and coaches, and, you know, it's like I have, oh, I need to learn this one thing. Well, let me go ask this one person, because I know they have the answer, because I've built a big network. But having people that have already achieved what you want to, and listening to them and ignoring everyone else, because if they haven't achieved what you want to, you know, who cares what their advice is? They haven't done it.
Right.
And then surrounding yourself with people who are trying to go the same direction, so you guys can keep each other accountable and keep motivated, because it's going to be rough. It's going to be bumpy. I had a roommate for the last year who also woke up at 4 or 5 in the morning. And when I didn't wake up, I told him once, like, hey, if you don't see me by this time in the morning, come kick my door down. And sure enough, there was a day where he's banging on my door. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to get out of bed. I drank too much last night, whatever. But I got out of bed, you know. Yep. So surround yourself with people like that.
That's fantastic stuff. So, David, let's wrap up with our what we call the final five. Are you ready for these?
Ready.
All right. What's your favorite way to find deals?
Direct mail.
Favorite way to find capital for your deals?
I love me some private lenders, but I am still a seller financing guy. If possible, you can get in and do some crazy terms and find some awesome deals that work out if you can get that done.
Got it. Love it. What's the favorite book that you've ever written? I mean, ever read? Your own book, the one that you've written.
Yep. Sure. I did read my own book, and that is the favorite one I've ever written.
Nice.
There's so many books out there, and I want to just say something different. So I'm going to go with, and I am going to blank on the name. No, I'm not. Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand, because it was a break from all the nonfiction stuff I've read. And it's a super, super long book that like nobody reads. So you can kind of be like, ha ha, I've read this 60-hour long audiobook. But it's a good book about capitalism. I really enjoyed it. And it's old and it's classic, but I will listen to it again at some point, even though.
What is it again? Tell me again.
Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. It's like 66 hours. It's like 1,100 pages, something like that. But it's a fictional book. It's one of very few fictional books I've ever read. And I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Love it. David, who do you think's been the mentor that you've had that's had the biggest impact on your life?
Recently, Ryan Dawson with the Create Cash Flow coaching. He's who really got me dialed into finding my own deals. I use his direct mail approach and systems, and that has absolutely been the catalyst for me, A, finding this hotel, but really knowing that I was going to be okay outside of the military. And then prior to him, I've had, you know, so many throughout life, but he's the most recent one that I can point to and say, yep, that guy right there has landed me at least $60,000 so far this year.
Nice. So. Love it. Yeah. I love having a direct and specific rate of return on that relationship and that investment. That's fantastic stuff. Last question, David, is, you know, we're all busy. You're busy with this military transition. You're busy with your investments. Where do you go and what do to decompress and think and kind of look at the next phase of your life and your business?
Yeah, I haven't found the location here in Missouri yet, but when I was in San Diego, Oceanside, I took 2 or 3 thinking trips, as Bill Gates kind of calls them, makes them famous. Bill Gates does like every 6 months, I think he takes like a 7-day thinking trip or a 10-day thinking trip where he just goes to some cabin, like 1 or 2 room cabin on a lake, and just takes us like 3 bags of books and no electronics. But I went to Idlewild, which is this tiny little town up in the mountains between Palm Springs and LA. And I got this like 1-bedroom 1900s era cabin with no TV, no Wi-Fi, no nothing up in the mountains, close enough that I could walk into town, but town is like one intersection with a couple bars and a couple restaurants. And I'd take some books and I would just read, and I'd go hike out in the, up on the mountains. And for me, like being out in nature, hiking, or that's the place. So trying to just take the phone away, disconnect. I haven't found the location here yet just because there's not any actual mountains around me. So here it might end up being like a float trip with a camping site at the end or something like that. But we'll find it. I'm all about taking a day or two to just completely disconnect and enjoy nature.
Nice. I love it. That's fantastic stuff, David. Thanks for all your advice and all your wisdom today. And I appreciate carving out some time to join me. I know our audience is probably going to want to connect with you, especially those people that are in the service. I know your main website, from militarytomillionaire.com. Where else can our audience reach out to you and connect with you?
Yeah, I'm pretty much everywhere under the Military Millionaire handle at this point. The best way, if you want to physically talk to me, is to shoot me a message on Instagram at From Military to Millionaire. I answer almost everything there. And yeah.
That sounds great. David, thanks so much for taking some time today to join us on Accelerated Real Estate Investor.
Absolutely, brother. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, there you have it, guys. Another episode of Accelerated Real Estate Investor. I had a great time interviewing David. Don't forget to subscribe. Hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts and videos so you never miss another episode. And if you feel so inclined, I always feel great when you guys leave us a 5-star rating and review. Every time we get a new group of ratings, reviews, it fills me up with joy and happiness to know that I'm having an impact on you guys, I'm having an impact on your life. And frankly, it just makes me feel good to get some new 5-star reviews. So we appreciate those. Thank you for joining me today on Accelerated Real Estate Investor. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Hey, Josh here. And do you want to win a free Accelerated Investor t-shirt? All you have to do is give Accelerated Investor, our podcast, Accelerated Investor, a rating and a review on iTunes. Okay? Do that now. Then send us a screenshot on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. What we're going to do then is every week we're going to pick our favorite rating and review, and we're going to send that person a free t-shirt and maybe, again, some other cool, fun stuff as well from Accelerated Investor. So, again, don't forget to take a screenshot. Leave a rating, review, take a screenshot, send it to us so we know exactly who you are, and then once a week, every week on the podcast, we will announce a new winner. Don't forget to take a screenshot and send it to us so we know exactly who you are. We'll announce a new winner every week.
You were just listening to the Accelerated Investor Podcast with Josh Cantwell. If you enjoyed this episode and learned something new, help us build the AI community by leaving a review and 5-star rating on our iTunes podcast channel. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss another episode. To see passive investing opportunities, visit freelandventures.com/passive. To start your journey toward the lifestyle you've always dreamed of with multifamily apartments, apply for one-on-one coaching with Josh at www.joshcantwellcoaching.com.